Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
I thought that was the first Bible lesson I ever remembered. Good to quote the Bible. Really not a Bible quote, though. It's kind of a portion of it taken out of context and twisted around a little bit, but we like that one, don't we? Why do we like that one? We like it because we know that they are going to get it. Because we like it when they get it. They deserve it. Because they're not nice. They're unkind. They've been mean to us. And so they deserve it. Vengeance. Now, of course, none of us would ever subscribe to being vengeful. It's just ugly, isn't it? It isn't the way we want to carry ourselves. It's not the way we want the world to think we are. And yet, and I'm sure it's these other people, in the past 30 years in the movie industry, action and adventure movies, which 80% of them have a theme of vengefulness, the bad guy getting it. Those movies have brought in over $80 billion. Next in line are comedies. Comedies only brought in $43 billion. So somebody likes the whole vengeful thing, don't they? I'm sure it's not us. We're the ones that go to the comedies and the romantic ones too, of course, because that's all about love. Liam Neeson tells us, I'll look for you, I'll find you, and then I'll kill you. Jason Bourne has spent, I don't know how many movies, trying to have his justice righted. Clint Eastwood, a long time ago, invited people to make his day. Just give me a chance, would you? You know, there is this sense that we like that, because we like the whole idea of justice being done, the bad guy getting what they deserve. We cheer at the end of these movies because, doggone it, that was a mean, nasty person and they deserve to die because look at what they did to all those poor, innocent people. And we do like it when the people who are mean to us get what we think they deserve. We might on the outside be, oh, that's so sad. On the inside, we're going, yeah, maybe give it to him again, huh? Because after all, that's the way the world works. And if people are going to be foul and repugnant and mean to me, then they deserve to have those bad things happen to them. An eye for an eye. And then Jesus shows up. You know, it's like the parents going away, saying they're going to be gone for a long night out. And so the kids get on the phone and they call some friends and the friends come over And they call some friends, and pretty soon there's a really nice party going on, and everybody's having fun. And then the parents decide to come home early. It ruins all the fun. And Jesus has kind of that fun sucker attitude about him when it comes to those things that we deserve. Love. Love is a very special thing. It's a gift. It's a gift that God blesses us with. It is a gift that I choose to share. But not with everybody. Right? Because it's such a special gift. We only share it with special people. Jesus says, love them all. Then let God sort it out. It is a weird gospel lesson. It is the pansifying of Christianity. Roll over and take it. You get slapped in the one cheek, well, turn your other cheek. Somebody takes your coat, well, give them your cloak. Somebody says, carry this for me for a mile. Well, do it for 2 miles. Bunch of wusses. They just roll over and do whatever we're asked to do. Let people beat us up, lump us upside the head, treat us like garbage, and it's supposed to be okay because, oh, we love you. But you know, the interesting thing about those 3 points especially has to do with a little thing within Roman law. So, a Roman's dealing with a slave, and you have to understand that the entire Jewish community within Palestine was considered to be slaves. So you have an issue with your slave. You can smack your slave across the face. Shwack! Open hand only. No fist, open hand. Like this. Palm out. However, you are not allowed to backhand your slave. So, here you are, angry Roman person, dealing with some pathetic Jewish slave who's not doing what they're supposed to do, and you smack them across the face. And they look at you and they grin, and they turn their other cheek. What do you want to do? Give them another one with the backhand this time. However, when you do that, you are in violation of Roman law, and there is a penalty to be paid for that. And so now the slave has compromised the slave owner by turning the other cheek. Somebody takes your coat and you offer your cloak. Well, you know what happens when you offer your cloak on top of your coat? You better hope you have your skivvies on or somebody's going to really be embarrassed because you won't have anything left. And that too is in violation of the law. And there is a provision within Roman law that a Roman centurion, any Roman soldier, I guess, can offer his pack to a Jew and say, you're going to carry this for me. And you know how long you're going to carry it? Well, you're going to carry it for 1,000 paces. A pace in Roman law was 2 steps. You do that 2,000 steps, you're close to a mile. So you carry that pack for a Roman mile, and that is all you're obligated to do. You cannot be forced to carry it another mile. So, if you choose to offer to carry it another mile, that centurion ends up being in trouble. You see, it's not about necessarily rolling over, but it is about taking the opportunity to be able to compromise the integrity of the people who are trying to rule over you. And it's doing it in a way that's not going to get you into trouble. And it's doing it in a way that does not violate the whole understanding of loving your enemy. You know, loving your enemy seems to be the absolute silliest thing that we could ever do. But the reality of life is that we are defined by our actions. And so the love and the respect that we offer to other people, no matter what that situation is, reflects upon us as people of love and people of respect. Offering to be able to share those gifts that God has blessed us with anyone. It's not easy. It is by far not easy because it goes against that $80 billion industry that tells us that we want to watch the bad guy get exactly what the bad guy deserves. But if we lived our lives that way, and more importantly, if God chose to rule the world that way, be in a heap of trouble. Because as good and as righteous and as faithful as we might think we are, there isn't a day in our lives that at some point in time we do not sin against God. Not a day. Not a day goes by that we don't turn our back on God and decide that there's something that we can do then that's better than what God might have us do. There is not a day that goes by that we don't find ourselves separated by God through the action or inaction of our lives. Sinfulness. Punishable by do we want everybody to get what they deserve? Because if we demand that everybody gets what they deserve, we're going to be in the line waiting to get that which we deserve, which isn't what we want. Because the forgiveness that God offers us, the love that God offers us, that sense of envelopment within the community of faith that God offers us is not what we deserve. But it is what God gives. And it is what God asks us in turn to give. Love to the undeserving. Compassion to those who lack it. Food for those who need it. All that we do, we're asked to simply be like God. I wanted to use that bigger word, but I can't say it. Because big words make you sound like you're smart. You guys know better. And so God asks us to live our lives in a manner which is fitting in keeping with what God offers us, to be people who reflect our faith through what we say and through what we do, to be able to offer that same sense of love, that same sense of forgiveness, that same sense of hope that God offers to us through Jesus Christ, to be Christ here on earth. Because it is that forgiveness and it is that love that God offers us. That love and that forgiveness that God asks us to offer to those around us. That's all. Just a little love. But in the end, a little love.